I have our live band here, and we couldn't get this jingle to come through over our caller system, so I'm gonna let the vocalist do this for you live on air. Are you ready, David? This is David Yabarro doing our new Bird Talk Radio jingle.
Come on and listen. We got suggestions on the Bird Talk Radio. If your bird's misbehaving, we'll help you save it on the Bird Talk Radio. If your bird's getting rowdy, just call and say howdy on the Bird Talk Radio. We are birds of a feather. We'll stick together on the Bird Talk Radio. .com.
Awesome. All right. Hey, we're working on it, people. We're working on it.
On poles and cars, and that's where it really gets dangerous. And then, of course, for Louisiana, the flooding. But I guess what you're dealing with that seemed to be the worst part of it was flooding after the storm.
Mm-hmm. That's really, what caused a lot of those problems in the evacuations, et cetera. I know people left in a hurry. We had addresses. And we would make trips back into the city to try to, find these owners to see if they had come back, if they were back on weekends, et cetera, to reunite them with their birds. And I remember going to one place in St. Bernard Parish. It was a two-story apartment building. And we did have a bird that sort of came in with said that the bird was taken from this particular address. We went there and that address, we really couldn't find it, but the apartment I went into, you could tell that the table was set for dinner. There was food, serving bowls of food there. Food on a plate, and you could tell by the stove, that they were just about ready to eat, and they all left in a hurry. And this was just set up. People just had to leave. And this was three, four months later that I saw this.
Wow, there was food on the table
three or four months later. Yeah, the same as if you were having dinner and you had food bowl, things on the table to eat from, food on the stove, and you had food in your plate.
Wow.
And wow. Something happened, you just went outside and you just never came back.
Right.
It was eerie feeling. You could go out and look around, and this is probably a couple of months after. Everything was barren. There was no sound. You would look over the landscape. There were no birds.
Houses looked like they were literally whenever the water went through, gutted the houses, took out walls and everything, mold everywhere. Whenever we'd go into these areas, they'd stop us. I remember one that I went on, and before the National Guard would let us go in, they had a doctor come and give us a tetanus. We had to get inoculated. They gave us inoculate. They gave shots. Gave us shots before we could go in there.
Right, some basic vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. I swear I'm reaching for the Kleenex here. It's so so distressing and sad that people were just flooded out of their homes. And to and for you folks to venture in there and see the. And understand the distress that they must have felt before they had to leave their homes, leave their birds that drowned.
Well, and you don't know this, I'm a registered nurse. And I knew after the hurricane, there would be a call from medical people. And I decided, you know, I thought about it. And I said, there's going to be a lot of medical people there helping people. And I decided what I would do would be for the birds. The birds didn't really don't have a big voice when it comes to disaster, etc. They had thousands and thousands and thousands of people, volunteers, flocked to Louisiana to help the dogs and cats and the horses. And we had 65 come to help the birds.
Wow.
So, you know, that sort of just shows, you know, what the response is to disaster and for the various species. Now, I have
it, is kind of like that, isn't it? It kind of it seems that the smaller animals get the less concern.
Hamster.
You all said the hamster.
Okay, I want to share that story right quick. You was with your comment about that. We went into a house.
Bring it on, Neil.
Where we had rescued there was some birds that were there, but they also had this little hamster, and it was a mouse?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a mouse. And I was actually kind of shocked. I was like, oh, there's a mouse. And it was in like a fish tank. And that was all it really had. You know, it had like a little bit of toys in there, but it was a mouse in a fish tank. Well, whenever we had Larry and Nell Knapp come in, we went to PetSmart and we bought this little mouse because we were getting supplies for the birds. And I thought, you know, I want to see, can we go get this mouse a nice cage? So that's what we did. Whenever we went to PetSmart, went and picked out a nice cage for this mouse. So it left in, you know,
a
condo, and it came in a condo and left in almost a mansion. It was a very nice cage.
Yeah. Well, that's what we like to say about all of these cages. We don't even like to mention that word, CAGE, condo, apartment, habitat, domicile. We like to call it anything but a cage.
Well, we had to put that in Neil's bedroom because we didn't want the mouse running around the house. You know, they also brought back snakes and dogs. We did have snakes and dogs and cats and rabbits and a rooster.
Oh, yeah, the rooster.
Gotta have a rooster.
Yeah, we just, you know, the bird people were just not set on birds. They brought back other things.
I'm not real fond of quiet things that crawl around and bite people, but they're living creatures, so you got to help them, right?
They were, well, you know, I guess we're all God's children and creatures, you know. And the only thing they have, like birds that they really own, is their life. You know,
right.
They're not afflicted by income tax and stuff like this.
Certainly, and thank God they're not. Well, Donna, is there anything else that you'd like to touch on before we sign off here? It's just an amazing thing that you and Neil did and all these people for all these animals and facing all that adversity. I'm still wondering about all the people that supported you. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on before we sign off here?
Tell me about the happy bird that you reunited with Neil.
Which one? Neil's telling me something about a reunion here.
There was one of the reunions.
Yes, yes. How did you distribute the birds back to their owners or their new homes? I'm sorry, I kind of lost track of that, but that's a big deal. What did you do with all these birds?
Oh, As I said, we had the ones that we had, you know, well, the people that had like directly emailed us and said, my bird is at this location, would you please go and get it? Those were the easiest to reunite with. You know, we had clear contact information. They knew we had the animals. So whenever that came about, you know, whenever they were ready to take their animals back, they came over here and picked them up, or we were able to deliver them over to, you know, back to their houses. And they also had some of the birds that we had addresses to, but no names. You know, we had sent out mail and everything so that, you know, hoping that these people either would come back, you know, they had their mail being forwarded so that they know that we had their information.
Well, that was something Julie did. You know, I said she was the devil for punishment when she was here. She really didn't leave because when leave Katrina, when she went back home, she had the names and addresses. She had the logbook of where these came from, and she took it upon herself to address all these letters and send them out to the last known address of these birds, and we'd see which ones would come back and which ones wouldn't.
Wow. What?
We
wow,
had...
That's amazing. So Julie even took up the cause to contact the bird owners that you had documented.
Mm-hmm. We had people would come by here, I want to say almost like an open house. They would look for their birds, and they knew that the parrots were housed here. So we would get phone calls, and they would go through and, you know, look and see if this was their particular, you know, if the bird we had was their particular bird. We would go to New Orleans on the weekends and leave flyers at houses or check and see if the people were back and leave flyers at the you know, sort of the next door to let these people know we had their birds. It was, you know, I had some of these birds up to 3 years. Some of these owners claimed their bird, but they were not able to come home. They had no place to live. They were either moved to Houston, up north somewhere. Eventually they came back, and some of them were living on a boat in the harbor. And they still weren't even able to take their birds. So I had to house some of these birds up to three years. And I still have one bird left from Katrina, an African gray that was left here. And I thought she would be better off here. We flew birds back home. We knew, had... their addresses and the people were, you know, in another state. We would go to the airport and we would fly these birds back to their owners.
Who paid for all this? This story is so phenomenal. What about the cost of all this? You have birds for 3 years. Mm-hmm. You have people donating. You have people contributing. You know, what about the cost for all this over 3 years?
Well, I've had donations of money and food. I have no idea. I think probably $10,000, $12,000 in funds and bird food, bird cages, bird toys. It was phenomenal, the amount that I had.
A little side joke, we had 10 years worth of paper towels donated to us.
Oh, yeah, and I'm still using carpet. No kidding, I'm
10
still...
10 years.
Uh-huh, well...
Who donated 10 years worth of paper towels?
People sent stuff, and I think we had probably like 9 years and 2 months. We didn't have to buy another paper towel, and I'm still using garbage bags that people donated from Katrina. And I've also, if they've had another rescue or something going on here, sent supplies out to these people. These people also got garbage bags and paper towels.
Wow, the resilience.
It was people that
Americans.
You know, even a lot of times these people had their birds, but they didn't have any money. They lost everything, so they would come by here, and we would give them a basically a sack of bird food. We'd give them bird toys, etc. Every bird that came in here left, because some of those cages were bad, left with a new cage, toys, and food.
Wow. And so I guess you had other organizations donating cages and food. I think you mentioned that earlier.
Oh, yeah. The response from the avian community was good. It really was good.
Of course, bless the avian community.
Yeah. They look after their own. I always say it takes a village. I didn't say that originally. That was Hillary Clinton, but people laughed at her.
Okay, go ahead and say it.
It takes a village. It really does. And that's what we find, you know, even on 911 peer alert with the lost and found birds. You need help from your neighbors, from your fellow villagers. You can't do it by yourself to get your bird back. Or if you find a bird, you need help. You need help. So it does. It really takes a village.
I've seen a lot of this online, mostly on Facebook. I would have to agree. And you're saying that bird owners are like that, that they want to help.
Mm-hmm. They do. They did. They responded. It was super. I still have, and I would say 92% of the letters, the cards, the photos of the donations that people sent in here. I'm about ready to get rid of it because it's been 10 years. And it, you know, sometimes you just got to let things go. But,
right. Got to move on.
Uh-huh. It was, you know.
What kind of birds do you have? You really helped us understand this situation. And could you, before we sign off here in a few minutes, just share with us what kind of birds you have, how you got into being a bird person, and where you're at now?
Well, I had I always had parakeets as a child, and I'm a registered nurse, and at one point I was doing hospice, and I was at a patient's house, and her husband was talking. He said he had parakeets out, or had birds outside, so we went outside to look at them. Coming back, there was this one, I saw this one little blue parakeet in a cage by himself, and I said, how come he's by himself? And he told me that the other birds would pick on him. He was a baby. So before I left that house, I had that parakeet with me. So I guess that's how it started, and we eventually ended up getting an African gray whose name is Congo Lil, and then a couple of other birds people didn't want. So we had, I think I had like five birds before Katrina. This was a very organized household. The kitchen floor, all the floors were clean. Now I have 10 birds, and all the floors, whatever you want to eat, there's some of it on the floor.
It's funny that you say that. Before the birds, it was an organized household, and I'm sure many of us that have them understand that.
But now, whatever you want, it's on the floor.
Right. What's yours is theirs.
That's right. Yes. But, you know, I would like to say it was a great response from the avian community. And they do need to stick together. It was, you know, I just felt that this house just happened to be here. And I just gave the birds people to pick them up, medical people to help them go through the medical problems, give them their IVs and stuff like this. You know, it was an effort. It was a giant effort by a group of 60, 70 people, plus all those that donated.
Whenever
Donna, and Neil, please do chime in, but before we sign off, please add in your Facebook page, address, websites, and all the information where other people can connect with you and understand the situation and benefit from your experience. Neil?
I'm on Facebook, Neil Bernard, N-E-I-L-B-E-R-N-A-R-D.
Neil Bernard?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
With my email being neilbernard@gmail.com.
Gotcha.
And, of course, I have the 911ParrotAlert.com website for lost and found parrots, and it is international, and that was started in about 2003. We're also on Facebook as 911 Parrot Alert Official. I can be reached, Donna, at 911ParrotAlert.com.
Awesome. Awesome, Donna and Neil. I'll be posting all of your links on my Facebook pages. We'll be setting up a link on birdtalkradio.com as having you both as a guest speaker on the show today, and hope to have you back again. There's nothing like continuing education, and you folks have really had an education about rescuing birds particularly, and I'd love to have you back on the show again.
Well, I would like to come back and do something on lost and found parrots.
Absolutely, absolutely. Rescues are like the mothers of the wandering bird
just
community that need homes.
The escaped, you know, a bird that escapes, lost and found. You know,
would you like to kind of elaborate on your rescue a little bit?
Well, I always had this with Mel Knapp, you know, during Katrina when she came here and she said, well, you're a rescue. I argued with her. I said, Neil, I am not a rescue. I'm not a rescue.
She said, Gayla Haskell said she wasn't a bird person, too, when her bed.
Yeah, Neil
they
said,
just kind of choose you, don't they, Donna?
What are all these birds doing here? I said, I don't know, Neil. I'm still not a rescue.
Right. It looks like you rescued a few.
I did. You know, it was sort of a one-time thing. But, you know, my main thing was to get the lost and found parrots home. And, I think we really need to work on that. We need a lot more volunteers. And just it needs to get out there more that these parrots are lost. They're found. You know, I think... and I'm going to say, and it's over 50,000 birds found, and we haven't been able to locate the owners.
No
so
kidding.
A
how
lot.
How long has this been going on?
I started 911 Parrot Alert, I think, in 2003.
Wow.
For the lost and found.
And how many birds?
Oh God! Well, since then, I would say it's probably venture. Over 100,000 found birds that we haven't been able to, that owners don't know they've been found.
Just throwing on, she's got a bird on her head right now as she's saying all of it.
Greetings to our listening audience, and thank you for tuning in to our ever-popular Bird Talk radio shows and podcasts. I am Mike Kiger, a host for Bird Talk Live Online, recorded live from Kansas City. A shout-out today, April 24th, 2016, to say early Happy Mother's Day and some live mentions about my travels lately. I travel often coast to coast. I use Enterprise Rental Car Services exclusively. They go the extra mile, pick you up and drop you off when possible after you turn in the rental car. Enterprise Rental Car personnel are always friendly and make it obvious that they are happy to be at work each day, helping people get where they need to be in very nice, late model, reliable automobiles. Recently, I rented from the Elizabeth, New Jersey location several times in 1 month and had a very interesting conversation with a manager there while he was transporting me to my next stop in New Jersey after returning a rental car. Driving around New Jersey, I noticed that New Jersey people are quite unique with their driving habits, or maybe I should say strategy. It is a different world there, and there is obvious need to be a savvy, alert, clever, and very attentive driver. One day I was in line waiting to get on a ramp in the Bronx, and a car nosed into the very small gap between my Enterprise rental car and the car in front of me in a way that I could not move forward even a few inches without hitting the car trying to get into the lane I was in. When traffic started moving, about four other cars got right on the bumper of the car that nosed in front of me and stayed on each other's bumpers inches from each other so as to work all five of them into the lane I was in front of me. During my conversation with the Enterprise manager, I learned that driving in the New Jersey and New York areas is so competitive that there is even a product to protect your bumpers known as bumper bullies. We laughed a lot talking about the traffic, bumper bullies, and the just very unique traffic there. I was so intrigued by it all that I am shopping for my own set of bumper bullies now. Love you, New Jersey, New York, and Enterprise Car Rental, Elizabeth, New Jersey, where the personnel will run across the lot to shake your hand and introduce themselves, obviously happy to be working at Enterprise and happy to have customers. I'm your host, Mike Kiger. Thank you for tuning in today.